Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. For sake of time, we'll begin reading at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants." Now watch this. "And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his fathers digged, father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, 'Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.' And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the name by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Setnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake.' And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahazath, one of his friends, and Pichol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, 'Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, have sent me away from you?' And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, 'Let there now be an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, as we have done nothing unto thee but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord.' And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes and in the morning and swore one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, 'We have found water.' And they called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day." Amen. Bless your heart. I appreciate the Lord and his word. And we've looked at this a couple of times, different times over the years, different places, and several different times. And we've seen this, and we see the Isaac. He goes on. His father's passed away. You know the story. And he comes to Abimelech because there's a famine. The Bible says, verse number one, there's a famine in the land. And it was beside the first famine that was in Abraham's day. Now we know Abraham, he went down to Abimelech too, praise God, when he was caught up in the famine. And as Isaac goes down here, he follows in the footsteps of his father. And I want to say a whole lot of times that's what our children's going to do. They're going to follow in the footsteps of mom and daddy. Amen? They're going to follow in the footsteps of mama and papa. So we need to be mindful of what we do, praise God, because we got to realize that these little ones are watching you. Amen? We was talking about that, talking to some young people about that this past week, and talking about how they're setting example for their brothers and sisters, their little ones that's under them, that's coming up. And they're watching them, and they're acting, they're behaving the same way. But we see this thing play out, but I want to look at it kind of in a different direction tonight, if God will be our help. And look at this thought, if I had a thought tonight, on this subject. And why envy and strife all your life? Amen? Why envy and strife all your life? Now, we see here the Philistines, they're dwelling near Gerar. If anybody knows, that's pretty close to what we call now Gaza.
So they was right on the outskirts of where we recognize now Gaza. It was a Philistine. They were there, praise God. And the old scholars called the Philistines a cynical people. Amen? A cynical people. In other words, what they considered, they said they were like snarling dogs. Snarling dogs that could not be appeased with anything. They were just out. They was a sect of philosophers and valued their own thinking, praise God. And they had contempt for anybody and anything, praise God, that didn't line up with what they thought. Amen? And so we see this in the time of Abraham in Genesis chapter 20. And we see it here in Abraham, in Isaac, and in chapter 26, because of the untruthfulness, praise God, that was there. They didn't want truth. They didn't believe truth. They didn't want to live inside truth, and therefore there was no righteousness. People ask all the time, well, you know, why was God so mean and so cruel when He sent the children of Israel into Canaan, and He told them to go in there and just wipe them all out? Because they was part of the cynical bunch. They were part of those ravenous dogs that would not listen to the truth. And all they wanted to do is kill and maim, praise God, and get their own way. Amen. They were ungodly. And they refused to receive God. And we can see how the Bible talks about here in Isaac's time. He said he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great store of servants. And it looks like the next few words. And he said, the Philistines envied them. They were eat up with envy. Amen. It wasn't that they had something that they wanted. He said, they just didn't want them to have anything. Amen. It's kind of the way they are today. Envy and strife was there, praise God. It was caught up in their own hearts. Amen. You see in verse 15, he said, for all the wells which their father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Amen? Does that make any sense to anybody? Every time I read that, I'm like, I have to scratch my head and say, you're talking about Moses said it was a waste, barren wilderness. Amen? Water was a precious commodity. Water was worth more than gold in these places. But they didn't see it that way. So we see the same cynical people, praise God, we see in the Philistines, and we see them in the Palestinians today. Amen? They're in Gaza. They're still the same people doing the same thing. They don't have... The only difference, praise God, they're still the same spiritual depravity that was in the others. Amen? You might say that the Philistines and the Palestinians are cut out of the same cloth. Amen? Yeah, you couldn't tell them a difference if you put them side by side, because they're so cynical. Praise God, they don't have it. They're like them old snarling dogs, and you can't appease them. All they want is the violence. He says that evil and that strife was in their heart. Amen. Cynical people. Amen. The Palestinians today are not genetically related to the Philistines. So let's get that out of the way right quickly. We see the Philistines, they come from a little island, they say over next to Athens somewhere. And the whole deal about this is, as this ethnic cleansing, praise God, they think that the Israelis want to destroy them, get them out, and they were the true people there when they weren't either. But the Israelis is the people that God gave the land to. Amen. He made a covenant and a promise to Abraham. Amen. That this would be his land. So you see the culture. Amen. We see it even today. The culture. It's a culture that doesn't want no borders. They don't want no restrictions. They want to be able to provide and strive in their own land. But when they're given that opportunity, they do not seize it. They do not take opportunity, praise God, with what God offers them. Amen. They're driven, praise God, by a vision. But that vision is a vision, praise God, of just pure spite. Pure envy, pure strife is what they live on. That's what they feed on. Amen? That's the way the Philistines were. That's the way the Palestinians are. It's never going to change, because that's the way they are. Amen? Until they get them out of that. Till they get born again. So they had opportunities. The Philistines, praise God, their mission was to destroy and tear down. And we see this in the life of, as an example, in the life of Isaac, as he begins to come back into the land. He was sent out. Abimelech told him, said, you go out away from us and you just do your thing and everything will be okay. But we see these Philistines, praise God, they envied them and they done everything they could to dissuade them. That the Philistines, they had no development desire to develop anything, to have anything. They had no desire to dig wells on their own so that they might have water in abundance. Amen. They didn't have any desire. Now listen to me. They had no desire to develop their own resources. Does any of this sound familiar? Amen. Even as God had blessed them, God had gave them opportunity. God had showed them the ways and pointed them in direction to be prosperous. But they chose because of envy and strife to go their own way. Amen. That way is absolutely a way that's against God. It's against godliness. It's against that's right. The righteousness of God. So they chose to go in a different direction. And instead of choosing, praise God, to develop and to build and to use their resources, they dedicated themselves to destruction. Does it make any sense? They absolutely dedicated themselves to tear up everything that was made. To go along behind everybody that was trying to make something right and make it wrong. Envy and strife, contention, it was all a part of this. They even named these wells after them. Amen? Now you say, well, preacher, things get better farther. Hey, listen, it was the same in Abraham's time because he named these wells the same thing. He had the same opposition. And let me ask you a question tonight. You think the devil's changed his tactics in any way, any form, any fashion? He's the same, praise God. He's still tearing up, tearing down, and he likes to destroy. Amen. But praise God, you know what we got to do? We just got to trust the Lord. Like Isaac did, just keep pressing on. Just keep digging and digging, digging, praise God. And digging ourselves in for the glory of God, that God would get the glory out of it all. Amen. Now, I can't understand why they would want to destroy these wells. These wells that was being dug, that Abraham had dug, he had left for them. I mean, you'd think they'd say, well, glory to God, what an inheritance. Hey, man, that piece of property didn't have nothing. Praise God, it's got a well on it. I can pull water out. I can water crops. I can take care of my herd. Glory, boy, they ought to have been praising all the way to the bank. Amen. Why destroy them? They weren't a military target. Come on. Amen. Why is a Hamas wanting to destroy a Gaza today? They called it upon them. They knew what was going to happen. Amen. When they went in on October the 7th, they knew exactly what would transpire. They would be in retaliation. They would be hit hard. But they didn't care. Why? Because envy and strife, praise God, they'll have it all their lives. That's all they know. Because they've been embedded in hatred. Amen. They've been embedded in strife. That's all they know. Amen. Envy and strife. Envy, and it's envy and strife, praise God, toward God's people. Amen. Look what we're having today. It's spreading. Hello? They said yesterday. They said they put out somewhere one of the places. They put out a nativity scene, and people are protesting the nativity scene, and they're saying free Palestine. Amen. At the nativity scene, what's that got to do? Praise God with free in Palestine. I pray God, what it is, they're rejecting anything that God stands for, anything that's a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to disannul it and tear it down. Amen. The same crowd, praise God, that was there, the same crowd we have here, the same crowd for envy and strife all their life. They'll never get right. They'll never get in. They'll die in their sins and they'll die in their sorrow. God help them. We need help in the country today. Praise God, it's not looking good. Amen. That envy and strife toward God's people. Envy and strife played out in the, these people that were contrary to Isaac. He was just trying to dig the wells. He was just trying to establish his people. See, his goal, his job was to water the sheep.
Amen.
The sheep of God. Praise the Lord. But the devil and the demons of hell, full of envy and strife, and they'll be out all their life. They need the Lord's what they need. But they're trying to stop it. God has offered them an opportunity, praise the Lord. If they would take it, the same opportunity that was given to these folks is the same. Could you imagine if they'd come alongside them instead of trying to deter them, if they'd come along and say, hey, you know, we figured out how you dig these wells, and I've been watching old Isaac, I've been watching these servants, and boy, they just get in there and they get it, and they work together, Brother Jeff, boy, they dig that dirt, they put in a pail, and they send it up, and they make them a chain, they get together, praise God, they love one another, they work together, and the next thing you know, the waters are coming up out of the ground. Glory, hallelujah. So we could do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, it ain't that hard when you work together. Now, if you try to do it by yourself, I try to do it by myself, it's going to be difficult. But when we pitch in and we do it together for the glory of God and to feed the people, to water the sheep, amen, praise God, it all comes together. That dirt, the shovels will go to raking, and the scraping, the pails will go to moving. And the next thing you know, the waters are flowing. That water of life in that desert, in that desolate place. Amen. So we see that strife. Amen. It was offered up. Now let me just say something about the Palestinians. When the Palestinians took over, and when Hamas came in 2005, 20 years ago, when Israel agreed to move out of Gaza and let the Palestinians have it. Amen. They had greenhouses set up in Gaza. These weren't mama and daddy pop shops by the side of the road. These was elaborate, magnificent greenhouses. Glass greenhouses had irrigation systems piped into them. They were plumbed in, and they were producing, I'm talking about producing things that were ready to go to the market. I'm talking about the major market, not the market downtown. Said they were growing strawberries and cherry tomatoes and some other different things. And said they were growing some of the most magnificent, beautiful flowers in Gaza that you ever did see. And that they already had contracts set up to sell those flowers, that produce, plumb in over into Europe. Amen. They had job opportunities, Brother Jeff. They had an opportunity for foreign money to come in, praise God, by the billions of dollars. And people got together and raised and saved $14 million in order to buy these greenhouses. Amen. They purchased them for the Gazan people. Amen. But through the envy and the strife that they have all their lives, Israel had no more got withdrawn out of Gaza. Do you know what they started doing? They started busting glass. Somebody started throwing rocks. Amen. Can you imagine that? I mean, set up to make a fortune, set up to have businesses, set up to prosper in the land. But the same people with the same attitude. The Philistines envied him. The Palestinians, they envy him. All they want a war, all they want to do is annihilate, tear up and tear down. Said before Israel got gone, they'd done busted out all the glasses out of the greenhouses. Then they come in, they start stripping out all the piping. They were just lifing and having a good old time. They thought they was doing something really big. I'm not talking about mom and pop shop. I'm talking about sophisticated greenhouses. I mean, industrial type, ready for, already in business. And then they want us to send them millions and millions and millions of dollars to rebuild. What are they going to do with it? They're going to tear it down. They're going to destroy. What they need is they need the Lord. Amen. They had opportunities set up, but they didn't take the opportunity. They didn't seize the moment. Amen. So within days, Within days, they had destroyed everything that was built there, everything that was purchased for them, every opportunity they had. Amen. They did. You might say they wasted their opportunity. Amen. Had a vast opportunity, and they just absolutely wasted it. Amen. Doesn't it sound familiar? The same thing in Isaac, in Abraham's day. Soon as he got gone, praise God, they went through and they filled in the wells. You talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Cutting your face, cutting nose off to spite your face. God helps strife and envy, praise God. It'll tear up life. And it'll tear you up all your life. But they had that in them. They had this opportunity. But within days of Israel pulling out, they wasted that opportunity. Amen. They wasted that opportunity. And they used the modern day war, the strategy they have. It's a struggle against, they say it's a struggle against occupation. Amen. They say, we don't want people coming here and make it better for us. Hello? Hey, listen, they're bringing in millions and millions here that don't want to make it better for us. Amen? That they was some there that wanted to make it, was coming in. Isaac was coming in to make it better, to assimilate himself, to make it better for the people. So we don't want to be, we don't want, kind of like a lot of the folks uptown. They choose to be homeless. Amen? They choose to live on the streets because they can do things their own way. Amen? They choose that. But we see them here, how it plays out. They finally come to a place where they come to Rehoboth and where they dig that well. The waters begin to flow and there's no strife, there's no envy, no contention over this well. And Isaac says, for now the Lord hath made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land. And he went thence to Beersheba. The Lord spoke to him there that same night. He said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake. And Isaac built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Guess what happened here? Amen. Water began to flow again. Amen. Water began to flow again. You see, there's a rainy season in Israel. And it's in our winter time. Matter of fact, it's their rainy season over there now. Amen. If you go over in November, the middle of November to the last of December, 1st January, that's a rainy season. So they have the rains. And the people of Gaza are experiencing that now. Are you hearing me? They're experiencing that now. See, they're living in tent cities. Can you imagine having a typhoon type rains? That's what they've been getting. I mean, just bombarded with rain and living in a tent. But they said that 70% of them are still voting to keep Hamas in power, even though they knew that this was coming down on them. Why? Because of envy and strife. And it's all their life. They can't get past that. Amen? We see it in the modern day. Glory. But God tells Isaac, he said, well, just dig another well. Just dig another well. And then we see Abimelech. Now watch this. This is ironic right here. Ironic. Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ashdod his friend, and Pekah his chief, captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. They've tried that before. Amen. Over in Genesis chapter 21, they made a covenant. Abraham made the same covenant with Abimelech. And as soon as his back was turned, they broke the covenant, filled the wells, and you know the story. But now listen to what he says in verse 29. He said, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, And as we have done unto thee nothing but good. Amen. Ain't it kind of ironic that this king would come to him and say, look, hey man, we've been good to you. We've done nothing but good. I mean, you talk about the audacity of a man that would come to him and say this to his face. He said, well, preacher, I guess he had been pretty good to him. Really, they stole his wells. Amen. As he was digging them, they stole them. They threatened his family. They put him to the point that he had to continually be moving just to stay ahead of them. And the king said, hey, listen, Isaac, well, you know, we got to make a covenant between me and you because you're more powerful than us. And we know your God is a true God. But we need to make a covenant. And you know that we've been nothing but good to you. Amen. The ironic, the audacity of this man that would come and say these things after all that they had done. The same cynicism, praise God, that was driving him is the same thing, the same one is driving the Gazan people today. While they're sitting over in her sodden tents, still hating Israel. The one that opened doors and opened gates and brought them in and was training them in crafts and trades. Amen. Showing them how to be prosperous in the land. But because of envy and strife, they still want Hamas to be in control. Can you imagine that? Laying in a sodden tent at night with your little children huddled up together for warmth. And asking that the same people that brought this destruction upon you could keep doing what they do. I mean, you can't do the same thing and expect the same thing over and over in the same way and expect a different result. Amen. Praise God. You got to get away from the envy and strife, and you got to get to a place in your life where we're putting our faith and trust in the Lord. That's what Isaac was doing. He's putting his faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. But they're still blaming the Jew. But look what Isaac says to him. Verse 30. And said, he talked about Isaac, and he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. Amen. Now here this king comes, and he says, I've done nothing, I've done unto thee nothing but good. You talk about gaslighting. That's gaslighting of a major proportion. Amen. That's the kind of propaganda that you send out. Hey, we've just been really good to these people. I don't know why they treat us so bad. Amen. But what did Isaac do? He didn't sit down and make a long list of all the transgressions that they had done against the covenant they had made with his father Abraham. He didn't make a list of all the anguish and all the sorrow that he had put him and his people through. He didn't make a list of all the different times that they had to move on or move out of the way because of the opposition. But no, he called his people together. They said, listen. And they said, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to have a great feast. Amen. Praise God. Make them a cake. Amen. Glory to God. He said, listen, we're going to feed them. We're going to give them something to drink. We're going to show them hospitality. We're going to show them the love of God. Amen. How do you overcome envy and strife all your life? You overcome it by the love of God. See, they train them little old babies up over there in Gaza. They teach them that the Jew is awful. They're wicked. They teach them in their math classes that if you've got 10 Jews and you cut 6 of their heads off, how many Jews do you have yet to be beheaded? Not how many you have left, but how many need to be killed. That's what they teach their children in elementary school. Amen. It's in their heart. Envy is all of their lives. It's there. It's enrooted in them. Listen to what Isaac does. He said they rose up betimes in the morning. He fed them, but created a great feast. They rose up betimes in the morning, swear one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. You know what they saw? They got to see a godly spirit from a godly man. Amen. They got to see Isaac, type of Lord Jesus Christ. They got to see the power of God on him. The love of God manifests through him. Amen. The envy and strife, praise God. It should have been there, but it wasn't.
So he sends them away in peace. Sends them away in peace. Does it pay to be a good godly person? Does it pay to be a Christian in the day and hour we live? Look what he says in verse 32. It said, and it came to pass the same day, watch this, that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well. Now he said, over here in verse 25, said his servants digged a well. Amen. They were in the process of digging, process of getting water. So it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servant came and told him concerning the well which they had digged. And they said unto him, we have found water. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, when you do right, when you live right, when you act right, the refreshing from the Lord will come. Amen. It doesn't matter about the adversary. It doesn't matter about the envy and the strife, praise God, that people, some people can have and tend to have all their lives. It's what we have that we have to give that makes the difference. Isaac had the love of God in his heart. His father, Abraham, had taught him, and he had taught him well. You don't think when they was there at the first begin, but was digging those wells, that Isaac wasn't watching what Abraham was doing? Don't think he is watching, praise God, how Abraham would direct his servants to keep them out of the strife and contention that they had? The reason they named them wells, what they named them. But God through Isaac, praise God, he began to bring peace in the land. And that peace brought the refreshing from the Lord. As those water wells began to come forth. Said he called it Sheba. But therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Amen. Or the well of the covenant. Amen. He said, praise God. He said, it's come to the true. He said, we finished. He said, we're staying on course. This is the well of the covenant. The oath that we made. It's an oath not so much that he made with Abimelech, but it was an oath that he made with God Almighty. To be a servant of the Lord in the land. Praise God. To keep faithful in the course without any envy or strife. What's taking place in the world today is because of the cynical people that's over there that's full of strife and contention. Amen. They're just eat up with it. What they need is the Lord. And the Jews have been trying to show them the love of God for centuries. Amen. But that it's just like there's always been an obstacle there, and it's that envy, that strife that he talks about here, how the Philistines envied him. He envied Isaac, amen, because he was somebody going somewhere. See, if they just need to realize who he was going with, amen. When we realize who he was going with, he was going with the Lord. And he was going with the goodness of God and the goodness of his heart. Amen. So that God could get the glory. Praise God. It's time to get rid of envy and strife in this country. It's time to get rid of in this world. Amen. And get on the same side doing the same thing. Looking for the goodness of God to bless us and help us. That's the way God designed it to be in the beginning. We'll never see a great utopia of love in this world. It's too full of hate and envy and strife. Amen. But we can see it in one life at a time. It has to start with us. It has to start with me. And it has to start with you.